8, for any of you who know me, that's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Romans 8, there's so much in there. Verse 14, you don't have to stand. For many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Right.
Amen.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Amen.
But ye have received the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
Whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Yes,
that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Of all the things that we could be called in this world,
mm-hmm.
what a great pleasure it is to be called a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask right now in this hour, Lord, that you'd have your way. Lord, that you'd move in a mighty way. Lord, that you'd speak through me. Anoint my lips of clay, Father God. Anoint ears, anoint hearts to receive your word, Father God. We thank you for what you're going to do in this house, Lord. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, they say that as long as you give a preacher a cup of water, he's going to take a long time. Y'all are in trouble tonight, because I got two. Hallelujah. Just throw your watches away. They'll be all right. You ain't got nothing in the oven that's cooking. It's all good. Amen. We're going to have leftovers anyway. Amen. All right. Amen or oh me. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. That's where we're going to go tonight. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. If I had a title for the message tonight, it would be Sin the Curse, Jesus the Cure. Sin the Curse, Jesus the Cure. Verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of times we think that if we're good enough, we can make it. I'm going to switch to this microphone right here, brother. We think if we're good enough, we're going to make it into heaven. We think if I've done enough good things, I'm going to make it into heaven. You know, I was working, me and the boys were working in the yard a little bit yesterday, and I thank God I have two teenage boys that love to work outside. Hallelujah. Woo! And I was thinking to myself, man, if they wasn't here, I'd have to do this and this, and they just got right on it. And like, woo, thank the Lord. But what a blessing. Amen. And, you know, I got to thinking, and the Lord really got to speaking as I was out, especially in the garage. And I cleaned the wife's car up. Of course, she ain't been able to go nowhere in it, so it's kind of like, you know, it's in the museum right now. It's not going anywhere. So I cleaned it up for her, you know, because I knew one day she's going to be wanting to get into it, and I cleaned it up for her as a good husband would do. And I got to thinking about me hanging out in this garage doesn't no more make me a car than me just hanging out in a church makes me a Christian. And the Lord really got to dealing with me about that, and he said, you know, a lot of people go to church, and they think they're saved. They think they're a Christian. But you know what? They're no more a Christian than anybody else. And people tell you all the time, they say, you know what, Brother Chris? And they tell me, Brother Chris, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. You know what? Let me tell you something. There might be a bunch of hypocrites in church, but I'd rather be going to heaven with a bunch of hypocrites than going to hell with a bunch of hypocrites. Amen? But you know, we look and we think, you know, I've done good, Lord, and we rationalize with the Lord, but I'm a good person. I'm this and I'm that. And God says, you know what? You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Watch what verse number 11 says. And Paul's talking right here. He says, and such were some of you. So, Mr. and Miss Holier Than Thou, such were some of you. Adulterers, idolaters, drunkards. Amen. Such were some of you. Now, I get made fun of all the time because I've never drank a bit of alcohol in my life. Never smoked a cigarette. People make fun of me all the time. You know what? That's all right. I got Jesus in my heart. But you know what? Some people, God has reached out of that pit that people were drunk and brought them in. And drinking of the new wine. Amen. Such were some of you. And watch what Paul has to say. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen? Let me tell you a little story. You know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. And I enjoy Easter Sunday. I enjoy the message behind Easter Sunday. I enjoy everything about Easter Sunday. I enjoy the Good Friday, and I enjoy everything about it. Why? Because I know one day I'm going to see my Jesus. One, because when they went to the tomb to look and see if he was there, he wasn't there. And they're still trying to find him, and he's not there. You know why? Because he's resurrected. And that, what it said right up there a while ago, it said Resurrection Sunday. Every day is a resurrection. My brother said, you know what? It's a joy to be able to get up, because I got a feeling, oh, hallelujah, that everything's going to be all right. Everything was going to be all right. Amen. See, that laid him into that cold, hard death. And he came back. But let me tell you a little bit of what happened on that day. I want to take you back there a little bit so you can really appreciate what happened right here. The price that was paid. See, we've forgotten about the cross. We've forgotten. We don't talk about the blood of Jesus like we... My Bible tells me that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. So he had to shed his blood. Let me tell you something. He was brutally crucified for you and for me. So let's just go back a little bit and let's just share what happened. So he gets beaten 39 times. By his stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. You don't have to walk around sick. You're healed by his stripes. He paid the price for your healing. It wasn't just enough for that. He bore that cross that you and I should have been carrying. He went all the way up the place called the Via Dolorosa. It's called the Trail of Tears. Now, I thought it was amazing that we would recognize something to be so joyous in our Christian life that people look at as something that's sad. But you know what? For every step, he was thinking about me. Hallelujah. For every step, he was thinking about you. How do you think you ain't somebody? When he hung up there on the cross, he was thinking about you. The old song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I was on his mind. All the sin of the world, hallelujah, came upon him. And every drop of blood was for me. Every drop of blood was for you. And when he went out, there was a bloodline. Oh, hallelujah. I can just see it in my mind's eye. There was a bloodline as he toted that cross all the way up the Via Dolorosa that Satan couldn't cross. Satan can't cross that bloodline. Why do we say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this person right here? You know why? Because when the blood of Jesus is applied, Satan can't come near. You might see him, but he ain't going to come near. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All the way up the Via Dolorosa. He gets to a place called Golgotha, which is called the place of the skull. He's up there and they crucify him. The Bible says one on the left side, one on the right side. He's crucified. And we're going to see a little bit about what happened. But I want you just to think about that a little bit. How important you were to him. That he would make a way where there seemeth to be no way. That he would make a way for you. That he would call you a son of God. That he would call you a child of God. You think you're nobody. You think that nothing, you don't matter to nobody. You're somebody to Jesus. You're somebody to Jesus. Amen. John chapter number 8 and verse number 30. Flip there right quick. I knew I marked it somewhere. There it is. I got so many markers. So much good stuff right here. If you're taking notes, it's so good. John chapter number 8 and verse number 30. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be... Now, I want to just do the dignified version, okay? Like we ain't never done that with God. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye be free? And watch what Jesus said. Because this is red letter writing right here. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now's the time to praise God, right there. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I see so many Christians walking around and they got the heavy burden on them. And they're struggling. And you ask them, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. You know, the other day I'm sitting in my living room and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, when was the last time you really smiled like you meant it? You ever have those smiles like, hey, how you doing? Everything's fine. You know, you put on the church face. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Hey, Brother Thomas, it's been a great week. And knowing that it's been a terrible week, you know. How's your day? It's been wonderful. No, it hasn't. It's been terrible. The devil's been on my back like nobody's business. When was the last time you really had joy? And you really smiled? And you really said, you know what? I'm going to take these burdens and I'm putting them at Jesus' feet because He paid the price for them. I'm going to take on His yoke a little bit because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I'm going to quit carrying this stuff around, this old garbage I got carrying around. I'm going to quit carrying it around. I'm going to set it at His feet and I'm going to say, you know what? Jesus, I choose you. I choose joy. The ringtone on my phone is joy. I choose joy. You know, when it goes up, people look at me like, you know, and I have to be reminded, I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose Jesus over you. Jesus over me is joy. How do you get joy? Get Jesus. Listen, you're not going to get joy unless you get Jesus. Unless you get hooked up to Jesus, that's kind of like watching TV and not having it plugged in. You're not going to be able to see anything. You know, your cable company is going to say, you know what, your cable's hooked up, everything's fine. And your TV is going to say, you know what, everything's fine. But if you don't have power or you ain't paid that power bill, then you're not going to be able to watch TV. You're not going to be able to charge your phone. Amen. My phone's almost dead. A lot of Christians' phone, spiritually speaking, is almost dead. You're on 1% and that thing's flashing at you saying, recharge, 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 recharge. And you're saying, you know what? Just a little bit longer. I think I can get 1% out of this. And the devil's saying, I'm about to get you. I'm about to get you. I'm about to get you. You need to get under the spout where the glory comes out and get recharged. Hallelujah. Like what happened this morning. Hallelujah. Some people got recharged. Some people got plugged in. Some people got jolted again. Amen. Some people got a refreshing that they needed. He said, oh, taste and see, like we talked in Sunday school, that I am good. I read in Revelation chapter number 20 and 21 and 22 this afternoon where there was a river. Oh, hallelujah. I can only imagine in my mind's eye what this is off the subject a little bit, what that river is going to be like, what that water, Sister Linda, is going to taste like. How refreshing is that going to be? We're not going to have to worry about the chemicals or anything like that. Oh, hallelujah. But we're going to drink of that water. There's going to be no more night, no more death, hallelujah, no more pain. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. We're going to read that in just a little bit. But everything's going to be new. It's all going to be made new. Hallelujah. We have a blessed hope, and His name is Jesus. We don't have to walk around defeated. We don't have to walk around under bondage. We have not received the spirit of fear. How many people do you know that's so afraid of everything? They're worried and they're scared of everything. Well, I'm not going to go out because this might happen and that might happen and this might happen. You know what? That's why I pray. That's why I pray. Because I have a direct connection to somebody that can do something about it. We said in Sunday school, a lot of people had texted me and said, you know what? I'm thinking about you. I'm sending positive vibes your way. That's all good and that's all great. But how about somebody getting a hold of the Master? Hallelujah. Somebody get a hold of the Master and let me know what He has to say. Because I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. I just got a feeling. Oh, hallelujah. I tell my boys all the time, I got a feeling in my big toe that everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. Why? Because there's still a King of Kings. And there's still a Lord of Lords. And He still rules. And He still reigns. And He's sitting on the right hand throne of the Father. And He's interceding for you and for me. Hallelujah. If you got a need in the house tonight, I know the way maker. Hallelujah. He can set you free if you're under bondage. If you've got anything that's in your life, you say, you know what? I need to get it out. Now's the time. Tomorrow might not ever come. Now's the time. He paid the price for it, amen? He paid the price. Luke chapter number 23. Verses 39. This is where it gets gooder, amen? 23 verses 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. You can be a Christian all your life, but if there was never a time you could look back and you could say, I remember when I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean. Make me whole. Make me pure. Make me like you, Father God. You know what? You're not going to make it into heaven. That's what Paul was trying to say back there in 1 Corinthians. You know what? People think they can make it into heaven, but they're not going to make it. There has to be a time when you come. It doesn't have to be at this altar. It can be in a car. It can be going down the road. But there has to be a time when you felt that heart pulling, the strings pulling at your heart and saying, you know what? Lord, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Listen, people tell me all the time, as big as you are, you could have done anything in life. You know what? I could have played football. I could have done this and I could have done that. But you know what? I'll follow God till we get to the end of this thing. And I'm going to keep on following God. Oh, hallelujah. The song I was singing a couple weeks ago. Though none go with me, still I will follow. You remember that? I have decided. We remember that from, you know. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. And when you decide to follow Jesus, it puts you on a road. And you start going on the road. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's not going to come with you on that road. But when you decide to follow Jesus, one part of that song says, no turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Because I know one day we're going to get to the end of this journey. Hallelujah. Moses told him, Joshua, just set me on the rock. I want to see the promised land. Sometimes I say, God, just set me on the rock. Let me look up a little bit higher. Let me get on your shoulders one time, God. I want to see what the promised land looks like. Because sometimes in our soul, we start saying, you know what? I'm just ready to go home. I'm just ready to go home. You ever been on a long journey and you spent several nights in a motel? Let me tell you something. No bed sleeps like your bed. And the finest motels you could be in, no bed, see, and no place feels like your home. Amen? It's just your home. As Christians, we're ready to go home. Anybody ready to go home? I'm ready to go home. This whole hallelujah. All the things that are down here, I'm ready to go up there. You know, heaven's a little bit sweeter more each day. The more I think about it, and the more my brother was talking about, you know, God is good, the more I think about, wow. The blessings that God has for us in heaven. We can't even fathom what that's going to be like. Amen. And wow. God is good. Amen. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Now I want you to know something. The person that was crucified on the cross by Jesus was a terrible, terrible sinner. That was somebody that didn't, as most people would say, didn't deserve to go to heaven. But you know what? Jesus looked on him and said, you know what? Today, you're going to be with me. It doesn't matter. My sister did a sign to a song, and I love that. It doesn't matter rich or poor or king or not. We're all day, one day going to kneel. Oh, hallelujah. My Bible tells me that everything above earth, everything below the earth is going to kneel. All the kings, all the high and mighties, all the low people, all the people that are denying the existence of God are going to kneel. Hallelujah. Because there still is one king, and he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. In verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, I want you to know, I've studied this. I want you to know something. Science actually says there was a space in time that there was darkness for 3 hours on this earth. And they can't give a testament why that happened. Now, if you want, I told you in Sunday school last week, if you come along to tell me that God isn't real, you come a little bit too late. Hallelujah. Because everything that God does is truth. And science will always back it up. Science will always back it up. And they said, you know what? There was a 3-hour span, and we don't know why, but it was dark there. I know why. Because my Jesus took on the sin of the whole world. And the Father turned his back on him. And he looked up and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he took on my sin. Because he took on your sin. Because that means something to me. Because it means now I got a home and I can go and I can see him. And I can can be with my Jesus forever. And He rules and He reigns, and I can sit down with Him and I can talk to Him. Hallelujah. That means something to me. That means something to me. Does it mean anything to you? He is the Savior of the world. He is Jesus. It's not about religion. It's all about a relationship. If I never talked to my wife but once a week, I would never know what she's thinking. But we think we can talk to God once a week and everything's going to be fine. Come on, somebody. Let's just get real tonight. If I'm going to step on somebody's toes, they're going to be stepped on in the Holy Ghost. Amen? That ain't me. That's God. You can say, ow, to God, not me. We need to get real with this thing. We need to dig in with this thing. We need to realize, hey, time is short. Time is running out. We're already on borrowed time. And it might not be, we not might open up our eyes tomorrow. Tomorrow we might go into work. We might hear that trumpet. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Man. Oh, hallelujah. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed, I might have said this before, have you ever noticed how the graves are always all facing to when they come up, they're going to face the east? Have you noticed that? They bury the atheist the same way they bury the believer. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. But that every time I go to the funeral and we go out to the grave, it excites me. Because I think, man, that's the east. And the eastern sky, glory to God, is going to open one day. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then those that will remain, that's us. That's we usins. That's all of us. Those that will remain will be caught up. Hallelujah. What a glorious day. We'll be caught up with Him. And so, my Bible tells me, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said, whereby comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. If you want to get me happy, let's start talking about heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you know I don't have a friend like you. Hallelujah. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? Hallelujah. If heaven's not your home, what will you do? Hallelujah. We as Christians, you know, when I got married, I was happy, happy, happy. Man, I had the woman of my dreams, like all y'all men didn't. You know, when they took that wedding, you were just, you're like, yeah, that's my girl. You know, we just smiling from ear to ear, and we just can't contain the joy. I mean, if you smiled any bigger, you would literally feel like you was exploding. You know, you felt that way. And he was like, I'm just so happy. We as Christians should walk around with smiles that big because we're about to explode. My dad used to always tell me, smile because everybody's going to wonder what you're up to. You know, and if you smile all the time, people will think, what in the world are they happy about all the time? I'm happy because heaven's my home and this world's not. Amen. I'm happy because Jesus saved my soul when I couldn't save my own soul. Amen. I'm happy that I can go to Him and I can get healing. I can get forgiveness. I can get deliverance. I can get set free. Hallelujah. I can go to Him when I need to be refreshed and He refreshes me. Amen. I'm happy because I have a Savior and He's right in here. Even though He rules the world, He's small enough to live into my heart. We should walk around and we should be so happy. But yet I see Christians that walk around that just are so sad, so depressed. You know what? Take your magnifying glass off of your problem and start setting. I told a guy I work with, I said, you need to start taking your magnifying glass off your problem and start setting it on your God. And when you start looking at your God, you start raising your head up and you start, you know what? I'm going to smile because I see something up there. Hallelujah. And I know He's coming soon. Amen. These problems, the Lord's really been dealing with me about, you know, we live in our own little world. And we think we got our own little problems. We got our own little circumstances. We got our own this and our own that. What about what's existing outside of our own little world? There's people that are dying and going to hell because we're so wrapped up in our own little world. We don't want to take time to talk to somebody else because we might miss an appointment. We might miss a meeting. Well, God's got divine appointments for us that we need to be mindful of. Amen. The person at the grocery store, the person at the gas station, the person going down the road, the person you're sitting beside. How many of y'all pray for the person sitting beside you in traffic? I'm not talking about the one who just made you upset. I'm talking the one you really want to lay hands on. I'm talking about when you're sitting at a red light, look over at the person next to you. Don't stare at them. Just look over at them and pray for them. Because they need Jesus, just like you need Jesus. They need Jesus as much as I do, if not more. Amen. Pray for them. How many of y'all have had people that pass you, that zoom past you, and you say, Lord, keep them safe. Even though they're in such a hurry, keep them safe. Put a hedge of protection round about them. Now that's what a Christian's all about. It's saying, you know what? It's not about me. It's about Him. If we can take our eyes off of us and our own little world and our own little universe. You ever have somebody that thought they were the sun in their own universe? No, they're the middle. They're, I am me, and nobody else exists outside of me. I hate to tell you, but as humans, we all got a little bit of that in us. We want me. You know, I ain't going to lie. I like it when my wife rubs my feet. That's nice. But I don't like to rub her feet. That doesn't feel good to me. I want her to rub my feet. But I think, you know what? Because I love her, I want to rub her feet. Amen? I want to rub her back. I want to make sure she's taken care of. God does the same thing for us. He takes care of us each and every day. And what does He want in return? He wants us. He wants all of us. He wants our heart. He wants our hand. Like Sister Karen saying, take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Take my heart, Lord. Speak to me. If you can use anything. Every time I hear that song, I think about, you know, if God can use a donkey, God can use me. If He can speak to that donkey and that donkey speak, God can use me. All I have to do is be willing and be available and be ready. Amen? Verse 45, and the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Thank God the veil of the temple. I don't have to go to a high priest. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go and have, oh, come on somebody. You ain't picking up what I'm putting down. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to somebody and say, bless me, Father. I can go to the man above. And He knows my name. Hallelujah. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Not signifying man reaching up to God, but signifying God reaching down to man. If anybody else needed that, I needed that in my life. I needed to know that God reached down right where I was at. Hallelujah. And picked me up. Come on, somebody. And dusted me off. And He set me on a new road. Hallelujah. He set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Look at Peter. Look at Peter. Peter was an old drunkard. He was an old fisherman. He was the person that he had a strong will, I do believe. I believe Peter had a very strong will. You ever meet somebody like that has a strong-willed person? Peter was strong-willed. And the Bible said, Jesus said to him, your name is Peter, and you're a rock. The gates of hell, I'll build my church on you. Oh, hallelujah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, hallelujah. Whenever we accepted Jesus into our personal Lord, as to be our personal Lord and Savior, we got a name change. We got an adoption. Amen. As we read before in Romans chapter number 8, we got an adoption. No longer are we called a sinner. Now we're called a saint. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're called a saint. It doesn't mean that I'm not still a human being. It means now I have a way. Hallelujah. I have a way. I have a Savior. Hallelujah. And I believe in somebody. You know what? People I talk to, they say, I don't see how you can believe in a Jesus. I don't see how you can't. Oh, come on, somebody. When the sun rises and the sun sets, I see Jesus. And everything in between, I see Jesus. When it was a windy day last week, where does that wind come from? Jesus. Hallelujah. Every time I think of a windy day, I think, you know what? He's the master of the winds. He's the master of the sea. He's the master of the storm. And He can say, peace, be still. And it is still. Amen. You're going through something. You're going through a burden. You're going through a struggle. He says, peace, be still. That's all He has to say. That's all he has to say. The Bible says, the apostles said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? Who is this? This man is Jesus. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I want to point out something right now. People said they killed Jesus. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. He gave up the ghost. Right there it says he gave up the ghost. They say, yeah, they crucified him. No, they didn't. He gave up the ghost. He freely gave up his life for yours. The song says, his life for mine. His life for mine. How can it be? His life. He gave his pure, holy life for mine. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 47, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. In verse 48, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man of Joseph, man named Joseph, a counselor. And he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And when he took it down, he wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Now I want to take you to a place right here. A sad place. We saw last week the incredible drama, and I love that drama. Don't worry, that's the first cup. We still got one more to go. I love that drama. The time between when Jesus was laid in the tomb and when he arose. Can you imagine that sorrow? All the earth is quiet. Have you ever noticed that the past couple of nights, everything has been quiet? Everything is like all creation is waiting for the King to come. It might just be me getting excited because I know that it could be any day, any moment, any hour. But sometimes I'll wait and I'll go to sleep a little bit later at night, or I'll get up early when I'm heading into work and everything's calm. Everything's quiet. And living in Florida, you learn the calm always comes before the storm. But I think into my spiritual man, I think, you know, what if today were the day? Everything's calm. Everybody's going through their motions. We're all busy trading, doing our business that we have to do during the day. But the song says the King is coming. But the King is coming. And one day, hallelujah, he's coming for you and for me. Hallelujah, that should excite you. The King is coming. The King is coming. Verse number 1 of chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Glory to God. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass in verse 4, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Oh, glory. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I've come to tell you tonight, church, he's not in the tomb. He's not in the tomb. Oh, hallelujah. Sin was the curse, but Jesus was the cure. Amen. Jesus was the cure. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. "But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We shall all be changed. I've dealt with this body for a long time. I know this body pretty good. I feel the pains when I get up each morning. That just told me right there, Sister Linda, that I'm going to be changed. Hallelujah! I'm going to be... somebody ought to shout and praise God. I'm going to be changed in the moment, verse 52 says, in the twinkling of an eye. Did you know that science can't measure how fast that is? In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Let me tell you something. All the people that have been in wheelchairs all their life. Glory to God. Brother Eddie, Brother Kevin. In the moment, in the twinkling, glory city to Mokundara. Woo! Glory to God. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. We're going to see people come out of wheelchairs. We're going to see people say, "Praise the Lord. He set me free." Hallelujah. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, glory to God. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. You need to put some more fire on that fire. Amen. Stoke the coals a little bit. Encourage one another with these words. Hallelujah. It's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be like this. We're not always going to feel pains and hurts and sorrows and fears and everything else we have to feel on this earth. One day, hallelujah, we're going to be with Jesus. And we're going to sing, hallelujah. We're going to sing to the top of our lungs. And we're going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in verse 52, "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Not might be, or could be, or should be, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not going to be the person that I am right now. Thank God when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a heavenly body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be able to run like I want to. I'm not going to feel the pain like I feel. But I know, hallelujah, I'm going to be able to see my Savior. Somebody asked me, what's it going to be that makes heaven so much heaven? Is it going to be the mansion? Is it going to be the streets of gold? Is it going to be able to watch Peter and talk to Peter and Paul and John and Mark? No. It's going to be able to look at my Savior's face. And my Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then face to face. Oh, hallelujah. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but I can't wait. I'm going to look at Him and I'm going to see Him face to face. And I'm going to see Him like Moses wanted to see Him. And I'm going to touch His hands. And I'm going to touch His feet. And I'm going to sit at His feet. And I'm going to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Hallelujah. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what I'm going to do. Forever and ever and ever. You don't understand how long that is. That's more than a year. That's more than 2 years and 3 years and 5 years and 10 years. I'm not going to have to worry about a light bill because He is the light. I'm going to have to worry about where the water is going to come from because He is the river of life. I'm not going to have to worry about the bread because He's the bread of life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have to worry about anything but praising my Savior. Praising my Savior. Hallelujah. If somebody said, "You know what? If you don't like worshiping God, you're not going to like heaven. But if you like worshiping God, you're going to love heaven." Amen. You're going to love heaven. Hallelujah. So shall we be changed. Verse 55. Let's go back to 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Somebody asked me when I got the precious honor to preach my dad's funeral back in 2015. My older brother came up to me. He said, "I couldn't have done it." I said, I'm glad I did. Because I went to that scripture right there. And I said, oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your sting? I'm not afraid of death anymore. Because Jesus overcame death. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation, I am He, this is Jesus talking, I am He that was dead and now is alive. And I have the keys, hallelujah, to death, hell, and the grave. To death, hell, and the grave. He has the keys. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow because God's already there. He already paid the price for us. Amen. He's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. The sting, verse 56, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Revelation 21, and I'm trying to close, I promise. 21 and verse number 1. Hallelujah. I'm going to get excited right here. Oh, hallelujah. You can get excited with me. It's quite all right. Hallelujah. Revelation 21 and verse number 1. John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Woo, hallelujah. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm going to tell you something right quick. When my bride came out, she was adorned for her husband. I had a hard time finding words to say. You know, I was stunned. Oh, hallelujah. That holy city, can you imagine what John saw? That holy city coming down, prepared as a bride was adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. The new Jerusalem, the old earth and the old heaven had passed away. And I heard in verse 3 a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Now I want you to watch this. This is the same words that God told Moses when they were going through the desert. This is the same words that He said. God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. Not some tears or most tears, but all tears. Hallelujah. All tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Somebody stop right there and say, glory to God. There ain't going to be no more death. There ain't going to be no more death. I said, there ain't going to be no more death. Oh, hallelujah. There ain't going to be no more death. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of people dying. I'm tired of people dying. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no more death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want you to know something. When that word says passed away, we're not even going to remember what pain was like. We're not even going to remember what pain was like. We're not even going to say, man, my ankle used to hurt a little bit. We're not even going to think about that. We're just going to be so focused on God. Amen? And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. It is done. The thing that Jesus said on the cross was, it is finished. It is finished. The price has been paid. You don't have to do anything else. It is finished. He told John to write, it is done. And verse number 6, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In closing, I want to read this to you right here. One of my good friends actually wrote this, and I actually read it for the Sunday school last week. So if you were in the Sunday school last week, close your ears. Act like it's the first time you heard it. Okay. It was midnight on a Saturday when the announcement was made. They were having Jesus' funeral outside his garden grave. So great was the crowd that gathered at the dark, lonely place. As they told of the greatness of Jesus, a look of loss on each face. Tears filled the eyes of many. Others were seized by fear. If he was who he claimed to be, then how did he wind up here? All I know is I could not see, Bartimaeus cried aloud. Then Jesus opened my blinded eyes, and a hush covered the crowd. I was caught in the act of adultery when they threw me at his feet, Mary cried. All I know is that he showed real mercy to me. I only had a picnic lunch, I heard a small boy say. Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and 2 small fish and made an all-you-can-eat buffet. On and on, they just keep coming with amazing stories to tell. Like the woman who was forever changed when she met Jesus at the well. Hey, let me tell you my story, Lazarus loudly said. Jesus gave life back to me, and I know I was dead. On and on, they just kept coming. So great was his fame. If they think they can hold him here, someone said, why, they're all insane. Then all at once, the place got quiet, except for a hideous sound. Laughing, Satan himself showed up, just walking, pacing up and down. Fools, all of you, I heard Satan cry. Your God is dead and buried while you all saw him die. But then, like a mighty rushing wind, in walked the Holy Ghost. Satan took 2 steps back, trembling, surrounded by a heavenly host. Why are you here? Satan screamed when the Holy Ghost turned abrupt. The Master left a wake-up call with the Father, and I just came to wake him up. When should I move the stone? Michael, the angel of war, asked. When you see the sunrise, the Holy Ghost said, then you can do the task. Watch the stone, Satan cried as demons filled the place. Over my dead body will he ever rise? The Holy Ghost said, whatever it takes. Then the first ray of sunshine broke through the morning light. What happened next was awesome and such an amazing and glorious sight. With just a little push, Michael rolled the stone away on the cold, hard slab of death. There the body of Jesus lay. Demons tried to hold him down as death straddled his chest. Hold him fast, Satan screamed. Death replied, I'm doing my best. Then a demon shrieked, I saw him move. Another cried, it's true. I don't think we can hold him here. We're doing all we can do. It was such an amazing thing to see death itself giving birth. As the morning sun came up, thunder rolled and a quake shook the earth. Oh my God, I heard death say as Jesus opened up his eyes. You should have seen the look on death's face when Jesus said, you got that right. It showed in Satan's eyes as with fear his heart was seized. Satan trembled and demons ran as Jesus shook the keys. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? As all of hell was shaken, all of heaven began to sing. You could hear the applause of heaven as God himself rose from the throne. Death had been defeated, and there was a celebration going on. So I guess this funeral is over. He's no longer in the ground. Jesus rose with great power, proving you can't keep a good man down. So with a great ovation of praise, lift your voice and shout, Satan has lost the battle, and of that there is no doubt. Now let all the earth rejoice and all creation sing. Jesus is alive and well and forever King of Kings. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. Sin was the curse. My Bible tells me, whereas in Adam all sinned, sin entered into the world. But by Jesus, life came. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You have to believe that He died for your sins. We don't have to make it complex, and you don't have to do all this fancy stuff. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know I'm a sinner. The time comes in our life where we have to get real with God. Amen. We can put on a show for everybody around us. We can put on a show for the pastor. We can put on, like I said before, that church face where everything is fine. But it's really not. Inside, we're distraught. Deep inside, if we're honest with ourselves, We don't know if we're going to make heaven our home. We don't have the joy like we used to have. Things don't make us happy like they used to. Anybody that knows me knows if you hang around me very long, you're going to laugh, either at me or with me, because that's what God made me. I realized a long time ago, I can walk around defeated or I can walk around victorious. I choose joy. I choose to walk around victorious. Every day is not a good day, but God's with me every day. And if we're real with ourselves, we need to look and we need to say, you know what? I need to get closer to you, Lord. I want to be close to your side, Lord. I want to let everything that's in the way out of the way. When the wife went through heart surgery, I've shared this with you before, when she went through heart surgery, the doctor came in there and he was showing us all the different chambers of your heart. So people think that your heart is just something, you know, when we have Valentine's Day, it's a big, beautiful heart. He said, that's not what your heart looks like. He said, it'd be great if it did. He said, your heart's actually ugly. He said, it doesn't look like that. But it's very vital. He said, there's different chambers of your heart. And you can see things on the front side of your heart that you can only see through different things. He said, but the only time you're going to be able to see the back of the heart is when you have to take that heart out and have to really examine it. David said, create in me a clean heart. Created me a new heart. Oh God, help me. Sometimes God has to take that old heart out of us. Even though the front half looks good, the back half, that hurt and that everything that we're holding on to, that person did me wrong back 30 years ago. We have to get rid of that. God, give me a new heart. He takes the heart out of us. He puts that new heart in us. And it's no longer a stony heart. Now it's a heart of flesh. Now we have compassion. I've said before, time and time again, God gave me a soft heart, but He put it in a big body. Amen? People don't generally, if I start crying, people don't come up and say, suck it up, guy. You know, because they know that I'm a big guy. So, you know, but I have a soft heart. I thank God for that. I thank God for that because God gave me that heart. Only God could give me that. When God takes your heart out and puts your new heart in, suddenly you have compassion for people. Suddenly, you say, you know what? I need to help that person because that's what God would have done. This morning, we talked a little bit about the bracelets we had, WWJD. Remember those? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in situations? Would Jesus keep on going and saying, well, that person can go help themselves. They look healthy enough. They can go get a job. Or would Jesus stop at McDonald's and get them a hamburger and take it to them and say, you know what? Because you're hungry, I'm feeding you. We need to be more like Christ. We need to look at ourselves and we say, it's not about me. God, take out this heart and give me a new heart. Cleanse me and purify me. Cause me, David said, cause me to have joy again. Purge me, O Lord. Try me, O Lord. Help me, Jesus. Not just say, everything's all right. And you, listen, you can walk by the trash that's overflowing at your house and say, somebody's going to take that out. But you know what? Until you take it out, it's not going to get taken out. Until you say, Lord, I want you to take all the junk and the trash and everything that turns your nose up at what I'm doing, take it out of my life. You're never going to get closer to God. You're never going to get, hallelujah. God wants you to be close to Him. People write books and say, you know what? You're living your best life now. This is your best life now. You're not going to live your best life until you get close to God. When I was growing up, I was my dad's shadow. And I can remember we'd walk in the sand. And my dad had a special way. He did his feet. He was, what do you call that when your feet go out like that? Yeah. So his feet went out like that. And mine didn't do that. And dad would take big steps. And I would jump and I'd try to get to his step. And I'd miss. And I would think, if I could only walk in my dad's steps, then I could be like him. Because my dad was my hero. I wanted to be in his shadow. Everywhere he went, I wanted to be in his shadow. I told him this morning in Sunday school, I wanted to reach up and grab my dad's hand because I knew there was safety and comfort, and my daddy was going to take care of me. Right there we read how we had the spirit of adoption. whereby we cry, Abba, Father? Why aren't we walking in His footsteps like we should be? Why aren't we in the shadow of His goodness and His grace like we should be? We say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And they will. But I want to get a little closer to God. I want to get a little closer to God. I want to get into His shadow. I want to be in His presence where there is joy beyond all measure. I want to get so close to Him whenever He turns around and He says, Son, I love you. I can hear it. Hallelujah. I can hear that. I want to reach up and I want to grab His hand. And I want to say, God, I want to walk with You. I want to talk with You. Listen, life is hard, but Jesus is better than that. Jesus is better than what this life has to offer you. If you'll stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. I know I've been long tonight. The musicians will come. I'd like you to play a song. I just feel like God wants to move in this house tonight. If you have a need, if you have something that you're holding on to, whether it's a grudge or whatever it might be, God knows what it is. You know what it is. It's time to get it out. It's time to get it out. If you want to come and you say, Brother Chris, I just want to get closer to God. I just want to be in His presence. Let me tell you something. There is no place like being in the presence of God. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of Almighty God. I feel like God wants to touch some people tonight. I feel like He's reaching out to you tonight. If you'll just let Him, oh hallelujah. If you'll just let Him touch you. Sin was the curse, but Jesus is the cure. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I believe that if you come out and step out by faith, He'll meet you there. If you have a need, whatever it might be, whether you think it's big or you think it's small, it matters to Jesus. It matters to Him. Thank you, Jesus.